Good morning, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It's Thursday. The Packers are one day closer to the start of OTAs, which begin on Monday. The Packers just releasing the fact that the Tuesday practice next week will be open to the media, as well as the following Tuesday, so the 24th and the 31st, open to the media. Live tweeting of dudes in shorts coming your way, people. Can't wait. Hope you're all doing well. Jaire Alexander's in the fold. Packers got a defense. Let's go, people. Good to see everybody mixing it up in the comments already, including Christopher, who starts us off with a super chat. Morning, Pack fam. Love me some Big Daddy Cool Breeze. And no shade here, but just saying, if G-Fence sticks, it's because of me. Just ask Big B. Check my Twitter. Go Pack. Or Christopher, if it sticks, it's because of you. We have made that clear. It is completely henceforth known. Christopher Preston began G-Fence. Well done. Doesn't really matter until you put the trademark on it, buddy, but I'm with you. Christopher was with another one. I was thinking G-Fence, a few dogs from Georgia, some old school OGs, and some new school Gs. They all gangster. G-Fence said this after the draft. I'm down, man. I like the G-Fence. I said it on the radio yesterday. So mad props. I like it. Dan Hillard, what's up? Russ Ball is balling. You darn right he is. He's making moves. It's interesting. I know Spoon tweeted out this morning the fact that Jaire's cap number goes from just north of $7 million this season to plus $20 million next year. Clearly, the Packers are counting on that new media money to hit in some capacity. I don't think they're expecting it all to just come flush and all of a sudden the salary cap makes a completely ridiculous jump. But they're certainly expecting some kind of move when it comes to the cap expanding in 2023. There's no doubt about that. Ed, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Glad Wayne Larrivee will continue as play-by-play. One good thing from the 80s was his leaving the Bears for the Pack. We'll always remember his calling a hard hit as a snot bubbler. Oh, yeah, that's an old school reference right there. As far as I know, Wayne and Larry are sticking around with the switch to 97.3 The Game, which I don't know if anybody heard me yesterday, but I was back on the airwaves yesterday afternoon with Drew and KB. I'll be back with them on Friday, as well as joining Zabe at some point, getting Zabe back in the rotation. So nice to be continuing on with our friends over there at 97.3 The Game, especially now that they are the official flagship station of the Packers Radio Network. Pretty cool. Today's song of the day, Avalon by Roxy Music. Danny, you trying to jump ahead of Uncultured Barbarian here? I like it, though. I love that song. It's a great track. Rock and roll. Rock and roll. I'm down with it. Next, are the Packers underutilizing AJ on purpose in order to keep the reps down for the long term? I don't think it's on purpose for that reason. I think it's very much, they have a really talented guy in Aaron Jones, and they want to split the reps between the both of them. And it's funny, you know, you say, why are they keeping AJ's reps down? And people ask, why are they keeping Aaron Jones' reps down? You know, they're both really talented, and it's better for both of them if they're platooning rather than being featured. I've talked about it a lot, Aaron Jones and his propensity for injury. He has been nicked up pretty much every year he's been in the league, and that's to be expected at running back. I'm not, no shade on Aaron, but I just think it's smart business. When you've got talented backs who can platoon and can really kind of do everything. That's the other thing. It's like, it'd be one thing if it was a major tell every time Aaron was on the field or AJ was on the field, but it's not. They can utilize any aspect of their offense. They can run anything. They can throw anything. It's, yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones is a little bit more of a slasher. There's no doubt about it. AJ is a bit more of a bruiser. No question about it. But we've seen both of them do what the other one is good at a high level. So defenses can't just, you know, tee off on, oh, Aaron Jones is in there, we know XYZ is coming, or we know AJ's in there, so we know these are the plays that they're most likely going to run. Their playbooks are wide open regardless of who's in the backfield with Rodgers. So I think that's the value in your ability to platoon those guys, but at the same time keep them fresh, you know, for the long haul. Obviously that is a major concern. Aaron, what's up, man? Next, my first game at Green Bay is versus Dallas. Go Pack, go. Your first game ever? Man, that's going to be a fun one. Enjoy, dude. Enjoy. Dustin, what's up, man? Can't wait to listen to the Packer Radio in Phoenix. There you go. Yes, listen to Packer Radio. Man, I always, that's my dad and I, that's how we always used to enjoy Packers games when I was growing up. You know, you watch on the television and you would turn down the TV and you would listen to Jim and Max. That was the best, man. Jim and Max. And I love, you know, Wayne and Larry, they're great. They're phenomenal. They do phenomenal work. They're excellent at their gig. But man, no one will ever beat Jim and Max. They were the gold standard. Dash, what's up, man? What's more likely, Packers become a run-first team or Olive gets two dogs this summer? I would suspect Olive getting two dogs is much more likely than the Packers becoming a run-first team, at least while Aaron Rodgers is in town. Dustin, what's up, man? First time catching you live in a while. Thanks for doing this. Goody finds the talent and Russ figures out how to keep them. Hell of a tandem. It really is. I mean, you talk about Russ's ability and knowledge of the salary cap, and you know, you can call it a manipulation, whatever. The use of the numbers and the rules and the ability to make sure that core guys are locked up. The track record's there. You can't point to a guy outside of maybe Corey Linsley, which you can understand because he was going on his third deal. And they, you know, turned around and drafted a kid and plugged right in to be the starter. But for the most part, if there's a core player on the team, you can count that the Packers are going to make sure they, you know, keep him in the fold. Now, obviously, the Davante Adams situation is very specialized. And again, another third contract. So can't really throw too much shade there. But yeah, it's a hell of a tandem. And they do great work together. There is zero doubt about it. David, what's up, man? How many wins do you think we get with J-Lo at quarterback in 2022? Ooh, that's an interesting what if. I would hover around 7 or 8. I think they'd be middling, probably just under 500. You can't go 500 now. But yeah, I would think, you know, they're middle of the pack. I don't think they would suck outright. I know lots of people probably say, oh, they'd be lucky to win 3 games. I know Adam Schefter last year put it out there, they have the worst roster in the league without Aaron Rodgers, which of course is bullshit. But yeah, the defense, I think, would keep them in a lot of games. And I think J-Lo would undoubtedly figure it out as he goes along. The more playing time he gets, the more starts he gets, the quicker he's going to develop. But he'd definitely take his lumps. There's no question about it. I'd be very interested to see how Matt would scheme things up if J-Lo was his full-time starter. But, you know, nature of the beast, man. First year as a full-time starter in this league. And it's rare that you come out all guns a-blazing. Even the guys who look at Josh Allen now, he's the toast of the town. His first couple years were rough to watch. Remember all the hoopla and fanfare around Joe Burrow. Oh, he had this march to the Super Bowl. It was great. That first year, it was tough to watch. And that's not, you know, a knock on Joe. It's just life in the league, you know? So yeah, I think they would hover probably around middle of the pack. It would be my guess. Aaron, what's up, man? Cheesehead TV should do a top 5 things to do at Lambeau. I mean, drinking would be the first 4, right? No, I'm kidding. Yeah, we should do that. I still got to cut together my things to do in Green Bay video that Tyler shot for me graciously last summer that I never put together. What else we got? New comments. Yes, new comments. Julio Jones on a team-friendly deal? Danny, you can't say it's impossible, but I would say it's unlikely. But never say never. Not until they get into training camp and a couple weeks in. Unless there's an injury, maybe that spurs them on. But I think they'll see what they have in-house first. You know, they'll see how these young guys come along and what they look like against NFL competition and how Aaron's blending with them and how they're picking up the offense and things like that. And then maybe if they deem it prudent, they might make that kind of move. But I think they're going to roll with what they got. And I think they like what they got. But we'll see. You make my mornings. Thanks, Nags. Go Pack Go. Eric, that's really nice of you to say. Thank you, sir. Still can't believe the depth at D. Amazing. Ben, it is kind of a pinch me thing. I mean, I know the one area people keep pointing out, and it's a fair, legitimate point, is the cornerback after those first 3. The experience factor drops off a cliff, right? Now, there's potential there. I think there's some talent there, but yeah, there's a lot of untested guys. But, you know, the fact that they have 3 frontline starters is pretty incredible in this day and age. That's no joke what they're working with between those corners and the safeties. I mean, they have got a legit secondary. So, God, just remember when they were rolling out like Ahmad Carroll or Demarius Randall? Different day, man. Different day. Next, do the Packers have two linebackers that are three down players? I hope so. Brandy, I think the Packers hope so. And I think that's the idea, obviously, of drafting Walker. You know, Matt has said this. I think, you know, Joe reiterated it in his availability the other day. You know, you get excited. You definitely see the college tape and see their physical traits, and you know the potential is there. And the idea of keeping, you know, both he and Devondre on the field for three downs is certainly tantalizing. But they got to do the work. And I do not doubt for a moment that Walker is going to be given every opportunity early and often to show that he belongs on the field for all three downs. But he's got to prove it, you know, and that starts obviously on the field next week during OTAs. Marshall, what's up, man? Morning, Nags. With the Raiders committing to not trading Waller, was him reportedly being included in the Adams trade a real thing? Oh, yes, it was. No doubt about it. And I know the Raiders have pushed back against that, but it absolutely was a real thing. The timing of it is unclear, but there were certainly discussions and or the Raiders definitely spoke to the Packers about it and were ready to include him. That's lock solid. But it is interesting that he is about to enter the final 2 years of his deal with absolutely no guaranteed money. I am fascinated to see how that plays out in Las Vegas. Especially since the Raiders have seemingly paid everybody else in their locker room. And now they have a star who wants a new deal and who was on the block earlier this offseason. And now he's set to hit the practice field and or the season without any guaranteed money. We'll see how that plays out. Am I going to watch the new Top Gun? Why? I don't know how this got kind of put out there. I don't know. Maybe because I was joking with Olive about Top Gun and she was saying how much she hates Top Gun, but no, I might watch it on a streaming service eventually if it's like, you know, just happens to be there, but I ain't going to no movie theater using my hard-earned dollars to support some face and voice of Scientology. Man, world's got enough problems as it is. I don't need to be supporting that. You vote with your dollars, right? And Scientology is evil and I can't support it, so no, I will not be seeing Top Gun. James, speaking of Top Gun, feeding a Top Gun Maverick theme cut up after our Super Bowl win this year, baby. Maybe someone will do it. Won't be me, but somebody might. Do I see Bakhtiari moving inside as he ages? No, Callum, absolutely not. He will stick at tackle. He will be playing tackle until the day he retires. There will be no move. What's up, DB? Might be a stretch, but Watson could be our Randy Moss. Whoa. May I say, whoa. Slow down. You move too fast. Gotta make that OTA last. Look, hey, could he be an exciting rookie? Is the potential there? A superstar potential? Absolutely. No question about it. Randy Moss? Are you old enough to remember Randy Moss's rookie year, sir? I do. I remember it. I watched in horror as he torched the living hell out of the Green Bay Packers so badly that Ron Wolf turned around and drafted three defensive backs in a row to start the next draft because he was like, holy shit, this kid is going to kill us for a decade. And he pretty much did, regardless of what the Packers tried to do. Randy Moss? Randy, straight cash homie Moss. Dial it back. Is he exciting? Does he got all the athleticism in the world, explosiveness, and you can see the big plays in college? No doubt. But Randy Moss. Let me tell you a story about Randy Moss. This is true. The first time, so Randy had come in and had started like on gangbusters, had torn up the league already a couple games into his rookie year. And then he was playing his first game in Lambeau Field. I know it was a night game. Might have been Sunday, might have been Monday. I think it was a Monday night game. And I had rehearsal down at North Carolina School of the Arts. I had rehearsal, so I couldn't watch it live. And this is before, you know, there's obviously no Twitter or anything. So I had no idea what the game was. But I had a buddy who taped the game for me. And our agreement was that I would meet him in a parking lot. And this is true. We met. It was like a drug deal. Like I drove. He was parked and I drove in and I just rolled down my window and he tossed the videotape. We didn't look at each other because I knew if I saw his face, I would know the outcome of the game. And I wanted to watch it as though it were live. And that's the promise I made to myself. I'm going to watch it as though it were live. Packers taking on this hot rookie. This is the Vikings, but we're the Green Bay Packers. You know, we've won a Super Bowl. Like, we've been two. Like, we're the shit, right? Like, come on, bring that rookie. He ain't nothing. So I get home, I pop in the VCR, and it's like a horror film. It's like a snuff film. It's like that scene from True Detective when Marty, you know, has to watch the movie that Rust has discovered. And it's like the horror with which I watched, and I was like, this has got to get better. And I like broke my own code and I started fast forwarding because I'm like, there's no way the Packers don't come back. There's no way this kid continues to kill them. And he did all night. Now, I pray to a God I don't even believe in that Christian Watson becomes that. But Randy Moss? Let's slow down. Let's just slow down, man. I'm with you. I'm excited about him. Slow down. Greg, what's up, man? Big talker, this guy. May need to subscribe. Big talker's back, Greg. Big talker is back. What's up? Jeezy baby, what's going on, man? Randy Moss's 3-catch, 160-plus yard, 3-TD game still amazes me to this day. That's one of the all-time great, like, still shots from a broadcast ever in the history of man. When he's sitting on the bench and he's like this, and it's that stat line. Come on. Fucking ridiculous, man. Uncultured, what's up, man? Moss's coming out party was a Monday Night Football game. Yes, knew it was Monday. I remember it well, as I was working in Minnesota at the time. My work life was hell until the playoffs. I do not doubt it. Do not doubt it. Life before Twitter. Yeah, you're darn right. I just started drinking too. DB, yeah. I mean, you remember then? You know? That was a tough night, man. And the idea, it wasn't just that he killed us that night, right? It wasn't just that he just made everyone look like complete fools every time he went deep, every time he was throwing the ball. It wasn't just that, although that was bad enough. It was the idea that this was his rookie year and he was going to be with the Vikings for the foreseeable future. That's what made it so awful. And the complete changing of the guard that happened in that moment. I mean, from the Packers being this big, bad team and this unstoppable offense and Holmgren's a genius and Favre is a god. And then all of a sudden, Randy said, what's up? That was a tough night to be a Packers fan, man. That was a tough night. TKM, good to see you at your post, buddy. How you doing? Doxin, I'd still take Jerry Rice over Moss. Cool, dude. I'd take Moss over anybody I've ever seen other than Sterling Sharp. Just because he's Sterling Sharp and I love him. Randy Moss is a fucking freak, man. Absolute freak. So we settle for Megatron then. Okay, relax. Relax. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.